You would turn in your copy of God's Word to the book of Psalms. We're going to do Psalm 100 this morning. A little bit of a change of pace. I was going to continue in Hebrews until next week, but I decided I didn't want to end Hebrews in the middle of chapter 9 and pick it up later after an Advent series talking about Christmas and the coming of Christ and important things we're going to be discussing the next 4 weeks. So I decided, why not talk about Thanksgiving? Why not? I know the holiday already passed, and most of you have already been thinking about stuff you're going to begin buying for people. You're done being thankful. You're seeing all the deals, and you want everything. But I want to take a moment both tonight, several moments actually, both this morning and tonight. So we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. We're going to be in Psalm 100. I'm going to ask God's blessing upon our time in His Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, You are worthy of our utmost gratitude and thanksgiving. God, You have given us much that we are not aware of, and even more that we take for granted. You've given us air to breathe and lungs to breathe them, the clothes on our backs, the homes we reside in, the families that we were born into, the parents that we had. You have given us Your Word that we might study it. You have given us the privilege of being a part of this church family, or at the very least gathering together with this church this morning. And Lord, I pray that during all the festivities, during the shared meals, that may bring hurt to some, or maybe times of joy to others, in light of loss of life or gain of life. Lord, I pray that we would never forget that even in our hardship, You deserve our praise and our thanksgiving. I pray this in Your Son's name. Amen. If you would stand in the honor of reading God's Word, Psalm 100. Beginning in verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. May God bless the reading and hearing of His Word. You may be seated. Like a majority of you, I am sure that I went and celebrated Thanksgiving this past Thursday. Some of you might have a celebration that's happening later today or some other time. I'm guessing it would be today, otherwise you'd be celebrating quite late. But I went back, we celebrated Thanksgiving with Lauren's family, and they're my family too now. It was a good time. I mean, we shared time with family. We got to see people that we don't normally get to see on a regular basis, and overall it was just a very pleasant gathering. However, I know from my own past that not all Thanksgivings are that way. Not, or at least for everyone in this room, or not for everyone in this room, is Thanksgiving a time that is happy. It could be a one-time thing where you've lost a loved one recently. This is the first big holiday that you gather together and they're missed. You miss them. There's something missing there. Or maybe you grew up in a broken home like I did, and Thanksgiving was more so just a time of confusion. You had to pick and choose which place you ended up, which family you were going to be around. Do I go and I spend time with my family, or do I go and eat Denny's with my dad? Like, that was the two options, because Denny's was the only thing open, and my dad did not cook turkey. But Denny's was a pleasant time, I suppose, too, and I have fond memories of that also. But Thanksgiving, the subject, not just the holiday, the idea, the concept of being thankful and grateful. If you were to think about it at any length of time, it doesn't make much sense unless you believe in something higher than yourself. For example, what do atheists thank on Thanksgiving? Who are they thanking? I mean, certainly they might thank their parents. Maybe. Why, though? Why be grateful at all? The whole world's meaningless if you're an atheist, or at least it should be by logical. If you follow that worldview to its logical end, it doesn't make much sense. And yet, you look at our nation, it's a secular holiday, and I don't know how Thanksgiving can be secular. It doesn't make much sense apart from belief in some sort of higher power that bestows things that we don't deserve. And, you know, you see this because Black Friday follows immediately after Thanksgiving, and immediately people forget all that they're thankful for and just want to get that next deal. I confess, I went and bought my wife a pair of shoes on Black Friday because they were cheaper. But I can promise you that it was not preemptive whatsoever. It was a spur-of-the-moment thing. And I'm sure she was grateful for that. But the point of the matter is, Thanksgiving is really just kind of a speed bump to Christmas in most of our homes. And it might not even be that. There might be no bump left. Because immediately people begin to think about gifts. What they're going to buy for people. Because even when we think about Christmas in America, most often it's about gifts. It's most often about your nuclear family, the people that share a home with you. It's very rarely about things that go much deeper than that. And I would argue that both Thanksgiving and Christmas are inherently religious holidays. That it only makes sense to truly celebrate them if you believe certain things, like in a God who provides things, and Christmas in a God who provides salvation and fulfills His promises, and Thanksgiving in a God who provides everything else on top of that, because He is an infinite provider. So the question this text answers is, who deserves Thanksgiving, or who should we thank? Most of you likely know what my answer is going to be. At least I hope you can. And if you read the psalm, you'd probably know what I'm going to say. This isn't surprising to you. Some of you in your Sunday school lesson just had an entire lesson about thanking God. Well, you're about to get a sermon about thanking God again. So buckle up. The big idea is simple. Thank God. We're going to talk a little bit about why and how we go about doing that. But if you come away from anything, or come away with anything, is that when you leave this room, that when you go home, when you wake up tomorrow, you need to realize something. That if it weren't for the sustaining power of God, you would cease to exist. If it weren't for the fact that God had provided you with all these things that you very rarely think about, you would be gone. The clothing on your back, the house that you sleep in, whatever it might be, whatever you can name, all of it, whatever good thing you can think of, ultimately is a gift of God. And that's what the Scriptures teach throughout, that God owns everything, and He is the one who bestows good gifts. So there are two main points this morning. First, thank God with joyful worship. Look at verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Who is supposed to thank God? Everybody. Everybody on the earth. The entire creation ought to be singing and making a joyful noise to God. Notice it doesn't say a musically talented noise. It says a joyful noise. That means all of you that are tone deaf can also do this and do it well. The question is, what is your posture when you come to the Lord? Is it with joy and thanksgiving, or do you not come to Him at all? Because what I've noticed in our culture, the reason this concept of Thanksgiving, you talk to a teenager, they have a hard time saying thank you, or when they do say thank you, it's just out of mere habit. There's no heart in it. And that's because most of them have been told that they deserve everything. That they deserve to be given the whole world. That they should have whatever they want. But that's not true. If you are a teenager, you don't deserve anything. Nothing. You deserve death just like the rest of us. You deserve judgment from God. That's what you deserve. The fact that God gives you anything good at all is an act of mercy and grace and charity. And that's why you should come to Him for joyful noise. Because He looks at your sin, and rather than destroying you immediately like you deserve, He bestows infinite blessings. Blessings that we can't fathom, and we often don't fathom. The whole idea of entitlement is not a Christian idea. Christians should realize that they are entitled to nothing. That they deserve nothing good. Because we are fallen. Because we are sinners. That God is not obligated in any way to love us. He's not. And sometimes I think that we teach children this. That children are being taught this both in school and in our home. That they deserve to have everything that they want. I mean, most oftentimes when a teacher, and you guys are teacher, a teacher gets in a dispute with a student, who do the parents side with now? The kid. Now, granted, there are some bad teachers out there. And if you're one of them, repent. But, by and large, the student was acting like a kid. Being entitled, prideful. Not displaying the humility that they should, thinking that they deserve some sort of special treatment, thinking that they are superior to the person who's actually in a superior position to them. And parents side with their kids in almost all these disputes nowadays. They shouldn't. Kids need to be taught that the real world's not going to look that way, because once you get into a job, if your boss fires you, mommy and daddy is not going to come in and say, hey, what are you doing? And if they do, I'd be really disappointed, both in the parent and the child. But I think all of us have this feeling of entitlement to one degree or another. When you pray to God, do you pray to Him as if you're in authority over Him? Or as if you're a wretch pleading for Him to do what you are asking? Do you come to God as a creature talking to the Creator, or do you come to God just as an equal who has a little bit more power than you do? I would argue that this passage says we should come to the Lord with joyful noise, and one of the things that is required for that is humility. A deep sense of who you are. A deep sense of who God is compared to you. He's God and you're not. And yet Him being God, He shows mercy upon mercy. So when we come to the Lord, one of the first things that should be done is a joyful noise. When you read the book of Job, you'll notice a lot of bad things happened to Job. Just a lot of horrible things. And after finding out these horrible things that happened to him, it says that he tore his clothes through ash. And it says he fell down and he worshipped. That's what he did in response to all that happened. Or take David after the sin with Bathsheba and after his child that they had conceived in that died. What did David do? He worshipped. That's what he did after the Lord had taken away his child due to David's own sin. He worshipped. It's because David realized and had a great sense of who he was dealing with. And he realized that the God that he worshipped is only worthy of worship, and we have no right to scrutinize Him. None. None at all. Because He's God, and we're not. and yet we should come to him with a joyful noise. Look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing. So not only are we to be thankful, not only are we to sing, but we are also to serve the Lord. An expression of thanksgiving and gratitude is humble service. That is a way that we thank God. It does not always need to be vocal. Now, it can and should be at times. But sometimes the Lord will present you an opportunity in which you can show your gratitude. Like greeting people as they come into the church door, serving in the nursery, or doing some other task that no one else seems to want to do. That is a way to express gratitude, not only to the church family that you are a part of, but to the God who saved you and put you there. God deserves thanksgiving. He deserves it both vocally and with our hands and our feet. Both of those things are true. But one thing I want you to notice here, amongst many things actually, but one other thing. Notice how the psalmist is thanking God. Notice how he's asking people to thank God. All of it is public and not private. God does not only call us to have a grateful mindset and be silent. He calls us to go public with our gratitude, to go public with our faith in Him, with our joy in Him, with our delight in Him, with our passion for Him. See, baptism is a wonderful thing. I think in Baptist circles, even though it's in our name, we've minimized the importance of it. But what you need to realize in baptism is this is a person swearing their allegiance out loud, not only to us, but to the whole world, that they belong to and follow Christ, that they have died with Him and been risen with Him, that they will follow Him into death if required. That's what baptism shows. Now, I think a lot of that has to do with we don't baptize people at the river very often anymore. But if you study Baptist history, there'd be thousands of people coming to spectate these baptisms where these crazy Baptist people would get into the water and dunk people. And they'd be astounded. And people would be mocked by those that disagreed with them. And they would stand, the Christians, the Baptists, would stand unashamed of their profession in Jesus. That was the first act of obedience to Christ. And it showed a great gratitude for what Jesus had done in their life and for them. So in what ways is God calling you to serve Him? I don't know exactly. There are several. But let's look at verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. One thing when speaking with unconverted people or people who aren't Christian, one thing that I always like to emphasize is that whether or not they acknowledge it, they were made by and belong to God. Before I get to the good news of Jesus Christ, one thing I want them to realize that they are made by and belong to God and therefore are accountable to Him. Every sin that anyone ever commits is not only against an immediate human being, but it's ultimately and directly against the Creator. Because sin in its very essence is a shaking of the fist at the one that made them. It is a saying that I'm God and you're not. Now, it might not be deliberate. Some people do it deliberately. But regardless, every single sin is rebellion. Every single one, big or small. It's telling God that His word doesn't matter, that His law doesn't matter, that He doesn't matter. It's telling God that He's not in charge of us. How many of you have heard children tell you, "Don't tell me what to do"? Don't tell me what to do. I'm guessing parent JoJo's not speaking. I know it's going to happen eventually one day. But I imagine that when that happens, you get this sense of not just glee, but rage. You're angry about it. You think in your mind, how dare you? Some of you might say that. But realize that they are not just sinning against you in that moment, but they are sinning against their Maker that told them to honor you. That's what they're doing. Why should children obey their parents? Because God told them to. And God promised that if they don't, it won't go well for them. But parents, that doesn't mean you can be abusive or respond in sinful anger to them in that moment. Maybe you shouldn't say, how dare you, because you realize how indebted you are to your Creator who you've said, don't tell me what to do before. That really changes the perspective of how you deal with everything. Gratitude is very important for everyday life. Because if you are a grateful person to God, it's really hard to treat people who treat you poorly in return. Because you realize that even though you have sinned against God, He has blessed you in ways that you don't even remember or recall most of the time. You know that song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One? Not one of you can do it. You know why? Because there are many you don't even know about. You don't think about them. You aren't aware of them in the background. Everyone has reasons to thank God. Maybe you can't thank God for your family because you've had an awful one. It's true. That happens. Had awful parents. Been abused. Been mistreated. But even you still have reason to thank God that you are still here today. And you should pray for those people who have hurt you. Pray that God would show them their sin and draw them to Himself. Gratitude is important. And we should thank God with joyful worship every chance we get. You know the song Amazing Grace? I'm sure you do. I have no doubt you do. It's a popular song. It's written by a man named John Newton. And John Newton, if you know anything about him, prior to writing that song, was a rebel, as he describes himself. He was a rebel. He left his home at a young age. He was a sailor. And he lived like a sailor during those times. And eventually he became a slave trader and a kidnapper, which is what they would do during chattel slavery, kidnapping people, committing all kinds of atrocities. And eventually his father sought to bring him back home. And he went, and John Newton was converted radically. And then he wrote the song Amazing Grace, and then John Newton worked to ensure that the slave trade would be ended. That's what he did with the later part of his life. And he wrote over and over again the regret that he felt for that and the gratitude that God had shown him grace and mercy even in the atrocities that he assisted in. That's why he could write the song Amazing Grace. That's why grace is so amazing, because God shows it to people that don't deserve it. Grace is amazing to all of us because none of us deserve it. Thanksgiving, the holiday, should be a day that Christians really love, because it gives us a day to tell people why we're thankful. How many of you have people in your family that don't love Jesus? I do. Who are walking in habitual rebellion against Him. Man, what a great privilege you have to talk about them. I don't go by the rules, don't talk about religion or politics. I don't believe in doing that. If I have a captive audience, because they're likely not going to lead, I'm going to talk to them, at least in part, because I know that their eternity is way more important than a peaceful Thanksgiving dinner. You don't need to talk about politics. Just talk about Jesus. And then maybe get to politics later. See, we have infinite reasons to thank God. So my encouragement to you in light of this first point is just to reflect upon the blessings that God has showed you. This week, maybe tomorrow morning, maybe this afternoon, list them. Get out a pen and paper Write them down. Brainstorm. How has God blessed you in ways that you don't deserve? I'll give you one that's easy. Jesus is an easy one to start with. But try and get beyond just that. The lungs that take in air, that's a reason to be thankful. The family that you do have, your children, are a blessing, even though they don't feel like it sometimes. The church family that you have, that's a blessing to write down. I'm just getting you started. Go home. Write what all God has done for you. Now, you're never going to get to the end of the list, and you could just keep writing forever, but write until your hand hurts. And then the next morning, read it. And then make a habit of reading all those blessings that God gives you, recounting them and thanking Him for them every day. That's a good habit to have. Because Thanksgiving, all at the end of the day it is remembering what God has done. That's what it is. Remembering it and reciting it and retelling it. The second point is this. Thank God for His loving faithfulness. Look at verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Again, what we see here is thanksgiving is never a private affair. Entering His gates, we might say, would correlate nowadays with walking into the church, gathering with God's people. When you come to church, is thanksgiving even on your mind? Or are you so bewildered by bringing in several children that you forget to be thankful? Or maybe you didn't bring in children and you see the people with children and the children are being loud. Are you being thankful at that moment? When you come to God or come to gather with the people of God, thanksgiving should be one of the first things that's on your mind. It doesn't have to be the only thing. It doesn't mean you can't be sad. It doesn't mean you can't grieve. It doesn't mean that you can't be convicted of things. But at the end of the day, thanksgiving should always be present for the Christian church. Whether you be at a funeral, a wedding, or a birth, there's reasons to thank God. Multiple reasons. Innumerable reasons. So when you gather with God's people, this starts on Saturday night, by the way. When you are getting ready to gather with God's people Sunday morning, you better be asking God to remind you why you ought to be thankful. You should be asking God to prepare your heart for the word that you are going to receive the next morning and the next evening. Because the Lord's Day, though it's not a serious occasion to some of you, to God it is. This is the day that the Lord Jesus Christ, or at least we commemorate it, that Jesus rose from the dead. Christians, Jewish Christians who formerly practiced the Sabbath on a Saturday, changed it to Sunday, recognizing that a new creation has begun. Sunday is not a joke. Sunday is not a day for me just to feel good because people come and listen to me. Sunday is a day for you to remember what God has done in Jesus Christ. It is a day for you to grow in your knowledge and understanding of it, but it's also a day for you to express your gratitude with one another to the God who saved you and called you out of the sinful, dead world to life. Is that the type of attitude you have when you come on Sunday morning? Are those the thoughts that even cross your mind? If so, praise be to God. You're ahead of a lot of people on an average Sunday. If not, you need to go to God and ask Him to give you a deeper spiritual well. Because my fear is that many of you are shallow. That you just come because that's what you did last weekend. And if you miss a weekend, you don't come for like months because you didn't go last weekend. And here's the deal. It doesn't matter if it offends me at the end of the day. It does. But it offends God, who commanded you not to neglect gathering together, as is the habit of some. Because when you don't show up on a consistent basis, you're saying the resurrection of Jesus Christ isn't that big of a deal. I'm not saying that. Yeah, you are. You are saying that. You don't have the right to tell God what you're saying. He's God. You're not. And we have innumerable reasons to be grateful. And one of those ways we can show it is just by showing up on a regular basis, by gathering with God's people, by hearing God's word preached faithfully week in and week out, by loving the Lord's people and loving the Lord. Let's look at verse 5 now. Here's why we thank God. For the Lord is good, and His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. God's steadfast love, that Hebrew word that no one really knows how to translate. Essentially, it means His covenant love. The love that God expresses to the people that He chooses to covenant with. A love that won't break. A love that won't be lost, but it's a love that's only shown to some people. If you do not belong to the covenant that God has made in Jesus Christ, you don't have this type of love. God's steadfast love is only shown to His people. That's it. If you like that, I don't really care. That's how the Bible proclaims it. Even John 3:16 is particular in who God's love is expressed to. It is only those who believe that experience the love of God. That's it. And it's only those who believe who have been born again. And how did that happen? It's by the Spirit of God. Only the people of God experience the love of God in the way that the Bible often talks about. Now, God has a general love for all of His creation. But there is a unique experience of God's love that can only happen when you relate to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. When you are a member of that covenant that I talked about last week. When you are a member of the new covenant, this love that the psalmist is talking about is a love that God has shown you and will show you and will never cease to show you. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ and have been united to Him, you can know that no matter how bad you screw up tomorrow or right now, He's going to still love you. He's not going, even when you are faithless, He will keep being faithful. And He showed that time and time again in the Bible. I mean, look at the example of any of the people in the Bible. I mean, Peter. God bless his heart. The man did not know when to be silent. He said all kinds of ridiculous things, even after becoming a Christian. I mean, you have a dispute between him and Paul in Galatians where they're meeting with a group of Gentiles, and then some of the Jewish Christians come in, and Peter gets up because he's embarrassed. And he does, though he believes that God has brought salvation to the Gentiles like us, in his actions, he showed that he didn't really believe it, at least for that moment. He forgot. You know what Paul went up? Paul says he went up to his face and corrected him. I would have loved to meet Paul, but only once, probably. He didn't seem afraid to go to people's face and confront them. Man, if someone did that in church today, you'd stop coming if they did it to you. Now, I think that says more about you than them, but here's the deal. I don't know what I was doing with that point, actually, to be honest with you. Anyways, the God of the Bible loves His people in such a way that that love will never cease. His faithfulness will never end. And even when you go through the deepest, darkest times of your life, you can know that the God of the Bible, the God who is your God through your faith in Jesus Christ, will never leave you and He will never forsake you. We can look at innumerable examples of this in Scripture, but let's take Joseph, a popular story, right? Joseph was the favorite amongst several sons. He was the favorite amongst Jacob's sons. And the older sons hated him. They hated him. So much so that they sold him into slavery. And then he got accused of sexual assault and went to prison. And then he helped out a couple of guys and they forgot about him. And eventually he was recognized, he was appointed to a position of power, and when his brothers came, he recognized them, he showed them grace, he showed them mercy over and over again. But after his father Jacob died, his brothers began to get worried. Like, now that dad's dead, Joseph's going to kill all of us. And Joseph noticed the squirming. And he told them not to worry. And he said, because what you intended for evil, God intended for good. What you intended for evil, God intended for good. It doesn't say that what you intended for evil, God made good afterwards. Says that same exact Hebrew word, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. God can use even evil to accomplish great things. God is not the one who is the author of evil, but he can use it. That's what he has to deal with. Evil people. Joseph never once doubted that God was in control of where he was going. And he had all kinds of horrible things go and happen to him. And not once did he curse the Lord for what was going on. We have every reason to be thankful. If you are a Christian, you have ample reason to be thankful because you know God in his Son Jesus Christ. You have eternal life. If you are here, you should be thankful that you are in a church that believes the Bible and teaches it unashamedly. That's another reason to be thankful. If you have a job, you should be thankful for that. If you don't, you should be grateful you have extra time with your family. Don't waste it. And pray that God would provide a job speedily. But you have every reason to be grateful to your God. Every single reason. So in all these festivities, don't forget to thank God for all that he has done for you. Don't forget to make that joyful noise on Sunday morning. Men, if you are not singing, you better start. I say that to men because that seems to be the tendency. Men just don't sing. I think we think we're too cool for it. Like, we think it's feminine. Jesus sang. David sang. David was a lot more manly than any of us. None of you killed a giant with a rock. Not one of you. He wrote poetry. He didn't write this psalm, or at least we don't know if he wrote this psalm, but he wrote most of them. And most psalms were what? They were sang. Men, when you come into God's house with God's people, which actually is God's house, God's people and God's house are the same thing. When you come and gather with God's people, when the church sings, if you claim to be a Christian, you better be singing. Now, you may sound ugly, but that doesn't mean you're any less responsible. I'm not a great singer. You can ask my wife. I was much worse before I married her. I was one, when growing up and first becoming a Christian, I refused to sing because none of the other men were singing in the church I was going to. But when you read the Bible, there's nowhere that says, you know, men, don't sing. No, you better be singing because your Lord is worthy of it. Your Lord is worthy of it. Now, if you women are shaking your head all pridefully, you need to repent too. But the point of this morning's message is very simple. Thank God. Thank God with a joyful noise or with worship. Thank God for his loving faithfulness. And ultimately, we need to thank God for his Son, Jesus Christ. What we're going to be celebrating the next 4 weeks, the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah has come and he will come again. God the Son became man and lived a perfect life. He died on the cross in the place of sinners like you and me. And if we trust in him, we can be united to God once again and have eternal life. What more reason do you have to be thankful? What more reason do you need, rather? You have more reasons than that, but what more reason do you need? You don't. Thank God. He's worthy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the fact that your word encourages us to remember what you have done for us. That your word encourages us to go to you and sing songs. That your word reminds us to go public with that faith that we have in you. And Lord, I pray that you would be with each person here. As we go our separate ways, Lord, I pray that we would not forget to thank you each and every day. God, we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.